so much to be thankful for. Well, this morning, we're going to see what happens when we do trust and obey. When we trust and obey, we will see then the focus of our thanksgiving. So keep that in mind as we work through this message. In our last study, we saw that Elijah, in response to Jehovah's orders, remember, he trusted and obeyed, left a dried up brook of Kereth, crossed the desert, it was some 75-mile trip, and arrived at the gates of the city of Zarephath, where the Lord was about to use a widow woman to provide him his board and room. I want you to notice verses 10 and 11 of 1 Kings chapter 17. And so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel or a piece of bread in thine hand." But rather than joyfully welcome this prophet of God, I mean, Elijah had to have some sort of recognition. I mean, people had to know somewhat who he was. But rather than welcome him to her home, notice what she said in verse 12, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse or a jar, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat, and then what are we going to do?" She said, "We are going to die." Now what a test of faith for this Gentile woman. But then we add, if we can say so, humanly speaking, how unreasonable of Elijah to ask for sustenance under her roof. I mean, I would say it falls under the same absurd and illogical and even incoherent time when God commanded Noah to build an ark before any rain had fallen, or when he instructed Israel to march around the walls of Jericho as their strategy for conquering that city. You know, sometimes God asks us to do what doesn't seem to be reasonable. It almost seems, as I've indicated, illogical. But what does faith in the living God, the Almighty Father, the God of our salvation, do? When God asks us to do something that humanly we don't understand why we should do it that way or why we should do this thing at all, we are to simply trust and obey. Even when, again, the command seems unrealistic. Well, as we've repeatedly said in these messages on Elijah, the believer walking in the path of life trusts and obeys. Now, we've seen Elijah practice this divine principle, and I say, praise the Lord, what a testimony, what an example he is to us. But I want us this morning to witness the maturing of the widow woman's faith to the point that she too obeyed God's directives and received a good report, that she too realized that God is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him, for he is the one who provides. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is the one who provides. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from him. I want you to notice Elijah's response to this widow woman in verse 13. He has just asked her to prepare him a cake first. And she said, "Well, I really can't because I don't have enough food." Notice his response. "Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said." I say to that, what a gracious word that was to quiet this poor widow's heart. You know, sometimes we just need to be told it's okay. You don't have to get anxious. You don't have to get upset. Elijah did not respond negatively to her. I mean, after all, it was the prophet of God speaking. And what did she say? She, in essence, said, no, I can't do that. But he simply said, fear not. Don't be afraid. For how quickly fear of the future, what it might bring, could fill our hearts. And usually, we imagine the worst. Lord, if I go down this road, it's not going to be good. And then Elijah continued, verse 13, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. And we respond, again, are you kidding? How unfair is this test? I mean, for Elijah to have her make him a cake first, knowing that there was only enough meal and oil to feed her and her son, seems very demanding and very unreasonable. And yes, we know that God has told us to love our neighbor as ourselves, but where has he asked us to love our neighbor more than ourselves? I guess we can respond here in the words of Elijah, who said to this widow woman, make me a cake first, put me first, take care of me first, put me ahead of even your son and yourself. Then Elijah continued, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And of course, when the rain would come again, then there would be food to be grown. Now observe again the title of God Elijah used here in verse 14. He said, the Lord God of Israel. Now if you look back at verse 12, the widow called God as the Lord thy God liveth. Well, what is the difference? Well, Elijah instructed this dear lady that the one speaking, the one commanding her to provide the first serving to him, is the God of Israel, of whose wondrous work you surely have heard so much about. As you recall, he was the one who liberated his people from the clutches of Pharaoh, and then delivered a dead Pharaoh to them through the waters of the Red Sea. He is the one who miraculously sustained his people for 40 years in the wilderness with manna, food from heaven. And he led with a pillar of fire by day and a pillar of fire by night. And who subsequently gave them the land of promise, following divine victories over the Canaanites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites and all the otherites. Ma'am, Elijah said, I promise you, you can obey this God because he can be trusted to provide your daily bread. He has a proven track record. If he could sustain a couple of million Israelites for 40 years in the wilderness, truly he can and will take care of you. He will not fail you. Listen to how Samuel described this God of Israel. He said in 1 Samuel 15, verse 29, and also the strength of Israel will not lie, nor repent, and that has the idea of change his mind. For he is not a man that he should repent, that he should change his mind. Again, ma'am, Elijah said, such a God can be safely relied upon. Ladies and gentlemen, such a God, the God of Israel, you can rely upon. Notice again the words of verse 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Now please note that Elijah did not promise that God would provide her a new and full barrel of meal and a new and full jar of oil. Rather, he simply said, just an undiminished handful. The God of Israel will give you what you need for each day. Your daily bread. What is sufficient? What meets your needs today? Now we ask, why no full barrel? Why no filled jar? Well, because God wanted this widow woman to learn to trust Him every day, to pray to Him every day, to ask Him every day, and give us this day our daily bread. Isn't it true if we have all that we need, how humanly speaking we feel, well, why should I look to God? Why should I ask Him? Well, God wanted this widow woman, and He wants us to realize that every day we need to come to Him. He wants our eyes of hope to always be heavenward. He wants faith to be a continual exercise. Let me ask you this. How is God exercising your faith right now? In what situation do you need to trust Him today? I think of the words of Psalm 121, where it says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Well, what should she do? I want you to notice verse 15. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And we respond, great is your faith. For how easy it would have been for this widow to make 100 excuses why she should not and could not follow these directives. I mean, she had never laid eyes on Him before, and now He was asking her to feed Him a meal when she had barely enough food to feed herself, to feed her son. We say she reminds us of another Gentile woman of Syrophoenicia. And let's turn to Matthew chapter 15. Notice verse 21 of Matthew 15. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But He answered her not a word. And His disciples came and besought Him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But He answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. But He answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, true, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Might these examples of faith and obedience, even in the most difficult of circumstances, move us to cry, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Grow, increase my faith. Lord, I want to obey you. Well, the end of verse 15 tells us, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And in my Bible, I have a note that says a full year. I say amazing. A full year. God took care of this widow, the prophet, and her son. Why? Because she was willing to obey. And then verse 16, 1 Kings 17, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. This gal gave out of her want, in faith and obedience she gave Elijah her best, and God kept her and her family supplied throughout the famine. And so how true it is, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Now, how many of us will be asked to take care of a prophet? None. Prophets don't live now. Prophets are not for today. But God asks us to have mercy on the poor, to give to those who can't give to us in return. As we freely receive, we are to freely give. I think of the admonition of Proverbs 19, verse 17, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. And how about Psalm 41, verse 1, blessed is he that considereth the poor, the Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. As I've said before, God will be no man's debtor. Again, this woman complied with the request of God's servant, and great was her reward. Ladies and gentlemen, God has a reward awaiting for those who seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. I love the promise of Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. He gives grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly. I think of Psalm 34, verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, ye saints, for there is no want to them who fear him. But please note that each of these glorious promises are conditional, which tells us our business is to fear, to honor, to obey God in all areas of life. And then in return, he guarantees our bread and water all of our days. Now, perhaps you're saying, well, Pastor, my situation is so extreme. I don't know if I have faith, the faith I need to obey the Lord. You know, oftentimes we look at God's word and we say, well, maybe a prophet could obey that, or maybe a pastor could obey that, or a deacon, or maybe my dad or mom could obey that, but I certainly can't obey that. My response is, think, meditate upon the widow of Zarephath, and remember, who puts God first will always find him at the last. And things which seem to be working against us are actually working out for our good because we love God and we are called according to his purpose. And so again, this widow, the prophet and her son did eat many days. And here we see exemplified in living color, 1 Samuel 6, verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. And from where does such contentment proceed? From a faith-filled, submissive heart, which rests in the promises of God. What does God's word say? Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Unto the merciful, God will show himself mercy. He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. I love the promise found in Malachi 3:10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive. And then there's one more promise I'd like us to think about, and that comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. The greatest blessing that we receive when we trust and obey is found in the type we see here in the story. The meal is certainly a divine selected figure of Christ, who was that corn of wheat that died and became for us the bread of life. And it is equally clear that the oil is an emblem of the Holy Spirit in His anointing, His enlightening, and sustaining operations, which makes the point, in faith and obedience, we seek after God. We experience Christ for us and the Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit in us testifies, He glorifies before us the Lord Jesus. And we see Him and we experience Him. When we trust and obey, we experience Jesus. If you want Christ to come alive in your life, you trust Him and you obey Him. And like the undiminished meal and oil which kept nourishing Elijah, the mother and her son, so Christ through His Spirit keeps nurturing, keeps sustaining, keeps preserving us. We sing the song day by day, and with each passing moment strength I find to meet my trials here, trusting in my Father's wise bestowment. I've no cause for worry or for fear. I love the words of John, which so beautifully speak of the one of whom we can continually come to shepherd us. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." In verse 15, John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, "This was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me." And then verse 16 says, "And of His fullness have we all received in grace for grace." And you know what that verse is actually saying? From the fullness of His grace, we receive one blessing after another. And further, by the Holy Spirit, we are sealed until the day of redemption. I say that is reason to rejoice. That is reason to be thankful. In trusting and obeying, we receive the bread of life. Now let us again note that God did not give this widow lady a new and full barrel and of meal and a new and full jar of oil. He gave her and her son and the prophet what sufficed their daily need, which tells us for us to experience the grace of Christ, the filling of God's Spirit, to trust and obey. We must be daily feeding upon God's Word. For He then renews our inner man day by day. There's a verse of Scripture in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, which says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day." And so, ladies and gentlemen, we have before us two wonderful examples of what faith and obedience looks like. How Elijah responded to what God told him to do. How this widow woman responded to what God told her to do. Even in the most dire of circumstances. And might we surely and might we daily follow their ways. Might we trust and obey. And when we do so, I promise you, we won't be disappointed. I have never been disappointed when I obeyed what God told me to do. I have been greatly disappointed when I haven't. But when the Lord has said, "I want you to do this," and I've done it, I mean, there's a certain joy that fills my heart. And perhaps God is asking some of you right now to do something that you know is hard to do. But you know, God is saying, I want you to do this. My challenge to you is obey. You can trust God. You can believe Him. He will not fail you. For we then experience the life and the Spirit of Jesus Christ, who becomes for us the focus of our thanksgiving. We sing the song that in fellowship sweet we shall sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. And so are you learning, and am I learning that God can be trusted? Are we exercising faith in this living God even today by obeying Him? Have we learned God's resources are always enough? Oh, may we learn to trust Him and obey. I can remember when God impressed on my heart to come to Augusta, Georgia and plant a church. And I mean, that was asking a lot, I felt. But God said, you can trust me. Just simply obey me. Let me tell you, God is who He says He is. The beauty of obeying the Lord is that Jesus comes alive in your life. If you want Jesus to be real, you trust Him and you obey Him.